Well, thank you. Thank you, worship team. That was fun. I saw an email this week that this was going to be a bluegrass Sunday, and I thought, ooh, we're going to have fun with that one. So thank you. Thank you. Well, as we turn our attention to God's Word and open to today's passage in 1 Thessalonians, I got to start by sharing something with you guys that's just been on my mind probably the last 24 hours. And I'm never stopped being in awe of the fact that you and I can be called children of God. You know, it's one thing to hear about God, to read about God, to think there's a God, but to be called a child of God, that's to me something on the next level. And you know, with that comes certain benefits, like the fellowship of the saints. We get the ministry of the Holy Spirit, illuminating the Scriptures. We get lots of other things, but we can also talk to God whenever we want. Whenever we want, we can talk to Him. Think about a CEO of a major corporation. There's probably very few people that have his direct phone number. Think of a leader of a big group who has to put his office phone on do not disturb for a few hours because he has to get some very important work done. And he'll tell his secretary, I don't want any calls for the next afternoon unless it's my children. I'll take their call, or my wife. I doubt there's very few of you here, if any at all, you could pick up your phone, call President Trump, and he would answer. You know, I heard Tom Cruise say in an interview, you know, he's the famous actor who films awesome action movies and scenes, and he said in an interview that no matter what scene he's filming on set for a fun, exciting action movie, he said, I could be hanging upside down by wires, shooting and guns and explosions around me. If my children call me, get me. I want to talk to them. Don't turn my children away. So anyways, that was just on my mind today. But welcome to week 2 of prayer. The month of January, we are focusing on prayer here at Pleasant Prairie Baptist. If you missed Pastor Dave's message last week of vigilant, focused prayer, go on YouTube. It's worth a listen. The question I want to ask today and think about is: Does the Bible, like we can talk to God whenever we want, but does the Bible say how often we actually should do it? So that's a question I want to answer today. Turn with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Father in heaven, I ask your blessing over everybody in the room this morning. Lord, it is so good to worship in God's house on a Sunday morning, week after week. And I'm so glad for your children that you've brought here this morning, God. I pray that you'll speak to us in the next few minutes, Lord, as we turn to your word. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 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 Okay, well, the title of this message is All the Time. All the Time. That's the word of the day. All the Time. If you go out to lunch later and someone asks what was the sermon about today, you could just say all the time. All right, remember that, all the time. All right, if we were sitting in my favorite setting, a small group Bible study setting, and we were all sitting around a table, this would be the part where I would open up the floor and ask you guys, what is something you do all the time? What is something you do all the time? And then I would say, what is something you think about all the time? Well, that doesn't really work in this format because the microphone won't pick you up. And anyways, so I surveyed a couple dozen people this week. Two-part question, what is something you do all the time? And part two would be, what is something you think about all the time? And I've kind of broken this up into categories for us to kind of think this through. So I want to start with the do answers. What do you do all the time? And I want to start with those retired folks I interviewed. And I tried to not ask anybody here. I tried to ask some other people I know. So, retired folks. Okay, one man said, I try to stay as active as possible. Okay, well, good. Amen. Another person said, I sit too much. I love the honesty, okay? Someone told me, it feels like I eat all the time. Another person said, three things, Mike. I eat, sleep, and talk to God. Okay, all right. Crossword puzzles. Got to pass the time when you're retired, right? Someone said reading. Ooh, good. Reading, reading, reading. How about this? Many people said, I breathe. I breathe. All right? Yeah, that's pretty important. Okay, more do answers, but this time for the non-retired bracket of people. Working, full-time working people, you can guess it. What do you do all the time? I work all the time. I work, yep. Those who are have children and are full-time stay-at-home parents, it says they feel like they just care for the household all the time. It never stops. It just never stops. A lot of the men specifically said, I think about providing for my family. I work hard at providing for my family. Someone said, I never stop cleaning. You know, God bless our laundry machine and our dishwasher. They just run 24/7 at my house, it feels like. Organization. Someone said, I'm really working on organization. Like, that's an active thing. I commend that. And then cooking. Oh, I love cooking. Food is such a big part. Okay, how about some negative? Those were positive things. What about negative do answers? I think we can all agree, if we're honest, with this person that said, I stare at my phone too much. I doom scroll. If you don't know what doom scrolling is, ask a young person. They'll tell you. Someone said, I spend way too much time on social media, and I'm working on curbing that. Okay, all right. And then my favorite, my all-time favorite one. One man who I love dearly said, what do you do all the time? He said, Mike, the two most consistent things I do with my time is I drink coffee and I read my Bible. I thought, amen, brother. I want to be like that when I grow up. That's awesome. Okay, thinking. This is a big part of it. What's going through your mind? Okay, thought life is so crucial. Okay, almost all of the retired folks and parents who are empty nesters with adult children answered almost the exact same way. I think about my adult children. I imagine that's on your, you know, they're a handful when they're little, and I'm told when they leave, they're a heartful when they're grown, and that doesn't stop. Also, of course, I think about my grandchildren. I think about my aging parents. One man said, I think about the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And then he followed it up with, I hope that wasn't too spiritual. I said, no. All right. So that was some of the retired people. What about the working class? What do you think about? Finances was probably the biggest answer I got. I think about work, even when I'm not there. I think about raising my children. I got quite a few thinking about hobbies, improving myself. One man said, I think about my failures often. So, anyways, what do you do all the time? What do you think about all the time? Maybe if one or two of those resonate with you, those are some of the answers I got. So I want us to think about all the time. I'll just go ahead and give you my three-point outline. It's real easy. Rejoice all the time. Pray all the time. Give thanks all the time. There you go, note takers. That's my three-point outline for you. Number one, rejoice all the time. Number two, pray all the time. Number three, give thanks all the time. I want God's word to guide every aspect of our lives. I want it to guide our thoughts. I want it to guide our study. I want it to guide our finances, our marriages, the way we raise our children. And I just went ahead and made that my outline this morning. Let me read the verses for you again. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What we see here this morning are three commands from Scripture. We see three essentials. Whatever you do, whatever you think about, whatever fills your schedule with, good or bad, make sure this is a part of it. Okay? And we're thinking about prayer today. All right, number one, rejoice all the time. Rejoice always. some things we do with our time come naturally, just like breathing. Just hopefully it comes naturally. If not, I would recommend that you see a doctor. But some things we do naturally. Would you agree that's fair? Some things we do out of pure essential, like I don't have a choice. I have to do this. Some things we really have to work at or it doesn't happen. I would say rejoicing always falls into that third category. In fact, one might ask, is that even possible? Is that humanly possible to rejoice all the time? Well, Pastor Mike, we live in this broken world, sinful wickedness, troubles, diseases, injustice, death, dumb people. How do I rejoice all the time? Well, first off, this message from the Apostle Paul is specifically to the church. I wouldn't even say this to an unbeliever, a lost person. There's almost no point unless I'm leading them to the Lord and showing them the benefits of being a believer. But make no mistake, there's no way we can rejoice always without God's help, without Christ in our lives, without His Spirit in us, without being marinated in the Word and enjoying the fellowship of the saints together. Not possible. So this is rejoice always. This is for the church. You can't rejoice always if it wasn't for God's love for you and what Jesus has done for you. We need God's help. And the good thing is He will help you. Okay, let's flip back in your Bibles just a couple few pages to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read it starting at verse 4. I want you to see another word from Apostle Paul to another church. He says this. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So, the Apostle Paul repeatedly urges us to rejoice. And I'd like to suggest that this rejoicing can be a flavor of your prayer life. I challenge you and encourage you to pray rejoicing prayers to God for what He's done for you. So, what does it mean to rejoice always? Well, it should look something like this. To maintain a constant state of joy and gratitude in God, not based on circumstances, but through faith, prayer, and thankfulness, finding strength and purpose in Christ, even during life's trials. Rejoice all the time. It's a command, not an option. It's an imperative, not a suggestion. It's a mindset that requires practice and training and saturating yourself in God's word and with prayer. It's a state of being that God has willed for each and every one of you, regardless of what you're going through. It admonishes fear. It rebukes the enemy. It combats worry. It makes you more fun to be around. My wife would say amen. It shows that your faith is sincere. And rejoicing brings glory to God. Loved ones, I urge you, on the authority of God's word, it is possible to live a life of rejoicing because of what Christ has done for us. So number one, rejoice all the time. Number two, pray all the time. pray all the time. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Okay, this morning, I want to drive home in our week two of prayer, how frequent your prayer should be. Your prayers should be so frequent that it doesn't feel foreign to you. It's my hope and prayer that you feel very comfortable talking to God. It's my hope and prayer that you don't just pray over a meal and never, ever pray ever again. It's my hope and prayer that there's more prayer in your life than you hear Pastor Dave and Pastor Mike pray on a Sunday morning. So God wants you to pray all the time. I've been, this last year, 2025, I don't know why, I was just really into a continual, honest conversation with God. Well, I could be driving down the road. I could be doing my work. I could be cutting the grass. Continual, ongoing conversation with God. What this shouldn't look like. What I'm not saying is, when you go to work tomorrow morning, I don't want you to say, sorry, boss, I can't do the duties you've hired me and are paying me to do because the Bible says I have to pray all the time. I don't want you to be driving down the road and get pulled over for going through a red light and say, I'm sorry, officer, Pastor Mike said I have to pray all the time. So I shut my eyes and I just let Jesus take the wheel and oops, I went through it. No. Pray with your eyes open on the road, please. All right, the Bible's telling me to do the impossible. How do I pray all the time? No, it's not. It's not. Think of it this way. Here's the best way I could probably get you to think about praying all the time. You know, when I asked, what is something you do all the time? You probably say, yeah, I work all the time. Okay, so you work often, you work full time, but there's still hours of the day you're not working, right? Let's say you, someone said that I eat all the time. Well, there's certainly times you're not eating. Let's say you think about your children and grandchildren all the time. There's still moments of the day when you're thinking about something else. I want to be reasonable here. I want to be honest and logical here. But it should be so frequent that we could say we do it all the time. One commentator put it this way. I really like this. With regards to prayer, don't think of prayer, he says, not as an uninterrupted vigil, but constantly recurring with faithful consistency. I like that. Constantly recurring with faithful consistency. Can you say that's what your prayer life is right now? We commonly tell someone, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. We say it so often, it's almost becomes just meaningless. Compare that with the time where you see someone and you said, I prayed for you all week. It is good to see you this morning. You've been on my heart. The Lord put you on my heart. I've been praying for you. That has a little more weight to it, doesn't it? Or let's stop and pray right here. Let's stop and pray. I had lunch with a pastor friend a while back, and we were at Mission Barbecue, and we put our arms around each other and prayed for each other in the parking lot. And I was praying, Lord, I hope a car doesn't hit me. But you could pray anywhere. And it was so meaningful to stop and put my arms around a brother and pray right there in a parking lot. What's wrong with that? You know? Okay. Marriages, husbands, wives. Have you heard the saying, a couple that prays together stays together? That is true. That is true. Men, husbands, I challenge you. Sometime today, sometime this week, take hold of your wife's hand, say, honey, I want to pray before we go to bed tonight, and I want us to focus on our prayer. And you sit her down, and you hold her hand, and you call out to God. And I tell you what, you'll probably get a kiss after that or something. She will love you for that sort of leadership, okay? Kiss or no kiss. Forget I said that. But seriously, men, this is an area we can spiritually lead our wives in our home. Pray together. Don't wait for her to take charge. You take charge. I don't think I've ever took my wife's hand and said, I want to pray. I don't think she's ever said, no, no, I'd rather do something else. She's always like, sure. And then next, just be honest with God. Be honest. He knows everything anyways. You know, I don't want fake prayers. I want honest prayers. You can be raw with God. God, I'm pretty upset that this happened in my life. I'm pretty disappointed that this happened. Or you could just, however it is for you, be honest. There's a time for a formal prayer. There's a time for a mealtime prayer. There's a place for a serious, scripted prayer. I like those. There's a time for praying scripture, okay? Some prayers are big. Some prayers are small. Some prayers are out loud. Some prayers are whispered. Some prayers are just thought. We sung that today, didn't we? We didn't have to say it. We could just think it, and God hears it. All right? Sometimes you could pray on your knees. For those of you who have had knee replacements, I don't recommend it. Prayers driving down the road. Prayers in the airplane. Prayers on the bus. Prayers at school. Prayers at work. Prayers over your children at bedtime. Prayers in the hospital. Prayers at the wedding. Prayers at a funeral. Prayers when things are going great. And prayers when things are not going so great. Prayers when you can't even utter the words. All you can get out is a groan. And praise God, the Spirit intercedes for us. Pleasant Prairie Baptist Church, I challenge you this day, if you think of someone, pray for them right then. If you can't sleep tonight, pray. Pray the night away. If you're tempted to gossip, pray instead. If it's worth talking about, it's worth praying about. Pray all the time. I want to read an excerpt from Luke's gospel. Jesus was a master teacher, master storyteller, and in Luke chapter 18, he told a story to his disciples about a persistent widow. Sit back and listen to this. Let me read it to you. Luke 18 says this, and he told them a parable to affect the way they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said this, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And then the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, let it never be said of us that we are lacking anything because we didn't ask God for it. Don't leave anything on the table. God is inviting you to call to him. Call to him. Jeremiah 33:3, famously, God says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not yet known. God is inviting you to pray to him, to seek him, and he promises to answer you. And what's so cool to me is there are some prayers that I guarantee he will answer yes. Okay? Lord, just, I want a closer walk with thee. Help me with that. This is my plea. Yes, he will do that. Lord, help me with my bitterness. I want to forgive these people that have wronged me. Yes, he loves to answer that yes. Lord, help me be more consistent in the word. Speak to me, Lord. I'm seeking you today. Speak to me, God. Yes. Now, he might not answer yes if you pray something along the lines of, Lord, I really didn't study for this exam, but just give me an A+. Lord, my neighbor has a brand new truck, and I really want one. That might not be a yes, okay? But some prayers, he will say yes. Okay, there's great potential here. Can we all agree? There is great potential here. Don't leave anything on the table. Whatever you're facing through, whatever you're going through, whatever uncertainty lies ahead, whatever the adversary is trying to distract you and beat you down with, you call out to God, and he will answer, and he will illuminate. He'll show you things you didn't know before. I love that. That causes me to rejoice, okay? The fact that I can talk to God anytime, and he wants me to do it all the time, and he promises to hear me and answer me. It might be a yes, it might be a no, it might be a wait. Wait is a good answer. That causes me to rejoice, knowing that. And it causes me to be grateful, which leads to number three, give thanks all the time. Verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's a pattern of commands in Scripture to be thankful. Thankful for what God has done in your life. Thankful for saving your soul. Thankful for making you whole. Thankful that he hears your prayers. Thankful that just the fact, like I started, an infinite, holy, awesome God knows you and cares about what's going on in your life. Now, what I'm not saying is, I don't believe this text is saying to be thankful for every circumstance. That doesn't seem right to me, but I believe it's saying be thankful in every circumstance. And you think about the Apostle Paul, what he said in Philippians 4, which I read to us a minute ago. Did you know that Paul was imprisoned when he wrote the book of Philippians? He said, I write this to you in chains. Scholars don't agree whether he was actually in a Roman prison or there was another time he was on house arrest. But when he was on house arrest, he was chained to a prison guard. So if Paul can rejoice imprisoned, you and I can rejoice and give thanks. Okay? So think about this. What's awesome is because of what Christ has done for us, these commands that seem very difficult, they transcend the earthly. They transcend the here and now. Whatever you're going to go through Monday through Saturday, this is far above that. And I say, thank you, Lord, because I can look forward to in what's coming, an eternal goodness that's coming, and praise God that he is with me right now. So, all the time. God will help you. God is for you. God loves you all the time. God is with you all the time. He never stops loving you. Let us rejoice, pray, and give thanks all the time. And by doing so, we will live the rest of our days right in the center of God's will. You know, that's the age-old question. What is God's will for my life? I just want to know God's will. What is God's will? X marks the spot. X marks the spot. Here's God's will. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. If you do that, I guarantee you'll be in God's will. Circling back to the persistent widow, Jesus ended his little parable by saying this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Think about this, guys. When Jesus Christ returns and he sits you down and looks you straight in the eye and said, what did you do with the days I gave you? What did you do? What did you think about? Wouldn't it be awesome if we could say, God, you know it wasn't perfect, but I tried my best to rejoice all the time. I tried to pray all the time, and I tried to give thanks all the time. Is there any faithful on earth? Pleasant Prairie Baptist, let us be the faithful few to the very end. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for your word this morning. Thank you that you answer the question, how often should we be praying? Forgive us, Lord, for letting this discipline roll off the table. And it kind of often goes to the back burner. I pray that this month and this series on prayer, it'll revitalize and aflame afresh in us the desire to pray, to call out to you. And I'm so thankful, God, that you hear our prayers and you care for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.